listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat. Hi everybody, it's April 28th, 2015. You're listening to the live stream on audio chat, audiochat.fakeologist.com. Sometimes it just takes someone to come in and start talking before anyone else does it. It's easy. All you do is download TeamSpeak, very slim program on any device that's out there, Mac, Windows, tablet, smartphone, dumb phone. The only thing you can't do is phone in, but it's there for you. So I strongly suggest if you have something to say, get on board and start talking like I do. It's easy. Today all I want to do is go through the old blog, start yapping, start talking about stuff. Blog is fakeologist.com. Let me load it up here. If you're listening live, you'll hear delays because this is not a continuous transmission by any means. If you're listening to the compilation, the archive, you won't hear delays because they're clipped automatically. I'm going to go over to the chat and invite people in because I'm going to be here for about 20 minutes on this high fidelity. And I'll probably switch to lower fidelity as I go on. Well, it's a big day in the media. I haven't really had a chance to look into any of this stuff. There's two huge things going on this week, April 28th, 2015. We have big riots, we're told, in Baltimore. Of course, isn't far from the Masonic capital of the world, Washington, D.C. We also have big death counts from Nepal. I really couldn't tell you what's happening with those two events and media fakery because I haven't really looked into it. And I don't always intend to look into everything. It's just, there's just too much too often, and I just can't overwhelm myself, but don't let that stop any of you out there from doing it. I strongly encourage anyone to do what you can. You know, bring up my website, fakeologist.com. And I'll go through a few posts, so that way if you don't look into it, go to my website. You can use this audio digest. Have a look-see. I'm already looking at blog. I thought I took the Reddit thing off, but obviously I did not. I'm going to take the Reddit thing off where you could promote every individual post who read it, because apparently that's the biggest thing since sliced bread. But I don't know if anyone's using it on my site, and I'm just going to know because I don't even use Reddit. I'm going to delete it because it does tend to make a mess blog. All right, let's go to the top post on April 28, 2015. It's called Flat Earth the Pejorative. Post based on a link somebody sent to me about trends on Google Trends for searches, and one search that is trending is Flat Earth, and apparently it really picked up steam in April, according to this map, or this graph. And how did this whole Flat Earth thing get going? Well, to me it appears that it has more to do with the promotion of the Global Warming 10X program. In other words, they're always looking for ways to promote agenda, which is reducing the population. I should rephrase it. It should be called the depopulation agenda, where they're trying to depopulate the planet various ways and disguise it with different programs. And because they use the CIA, which is involved in creating majority opinion or manufacturing majority opinion, or sometimes called manufacturing consent, they're big on corralling anyone who doesn't think that man-made global warming is real, as putting them down in any way they can. And flat earther is anyone who would not get with the program up until recently, I would say within the last 100 years. And it's the nastiest thing, closest thing you can call someone to anti-science or just plain stupid. Apparently a campaign got together that I linked to in the web post here, targeting five politicians that are not with the global warming program, and to help defeat them in the next election, and they've called them flat earthers. Now, that discussion apparently got a little bit of media traction, and I'm not going to say that accounts for all the searches for flat earth, but it might have something to do with it. And apparently, there's a huge spike, huge as in more than normal, in flat earth search terms on Google. That's the name of that post. Matt? Another simple post. Sometimes I just have ideas. I just post them, and they become very simple. And apparently, 8-9 people like this post, and it is the statement, "You can't make this stuff up." And that's a term we hear all the time, I think, in psyops or media reports. You can't make this stuff up. My response is, yeah, yes, you can. And Hollywood's best scriptwriters can and do every minute of every day. And they call it news. There's another clue when you're looking into potential fake events. Someone tells you that you can't make this stuff up. It's so crazy that it can't be true, but it is true, according to them. Good tip off or clue. They probably did make it up. And that's why it is unbelievable to you. Because it is not real. It's against your senses. It's against your common sense. But kind of like that. It just came to me and I categorized that as a big idea post. If you want to see all the big idea posts, just click on the link underneath big idea post and it'll bring them all up. Reminds me, if you want to navigate the website, you go to the right side and see recent comments. If you want to see all the recent comments, recent replies, those are replies to forum posts. Recent topics, those are recent topics that have been discussed or started. Lots of ways to drill down into the website. Next post is flattery that requires input. Someone who wrote to me with all kinds of topics says he likes the show. Great, even if he's lying, of course. Well, the effect is the same. He's got my attention. Because anyone who love bombs you is almost as effective as someone who scares you. You tend to let your guard down and become more amenable to the message that you're about to get. Person was going on about how Mark Sargent is a disinfo agent. I am on the fence on that. It is strange that all of a sudden unleashes a can of videos, but not that strange. What is strange is he's going on the talk show circuit in full force, which indicates he has a lot of time on his hands, because 1 and 2 and 3 hour shows does take time. I personally find it hard to find a block of 2 and 3 hours. That's why I do broadcast in this way. Here, I'll say hi to Frank. Frank? Is that you, Frank? Yeah, Frank, you're not coming through. Check your connections. Anyway, he asks about the Bermuda Triangle and some other triangle. And my only comment on that is, what happened to the Bermuda Triangle? Seems like that was a big story in the 70s, where planes would fly into an area around off Florida, with Bermuda and that general area, the Caribbean area, and they'd fly in and here. So I don't really know what happened to that whole concept. What it does mean to me, I suppose, is they got tired of promoting that story. If it was real or not, I don't know, because I haven't even looked into any of the cases. But like all media stories that disappear without any further investigation, it tends to indicate to me there might be some elements of fakery with the triangle. Or did the invention of GPS, which is really for land, really an enhanced version of maritime navigation system, that's all GPS really is. It's only enhanced by the cell phone system. Without the cell phone system, yes, would not be possible. And it can only get better and more accurate for many reasons. As GPS has nothing to do with satellites, because I don't believe satellites are real. It has everything to do with land-based triangulation of cell phone towers. And because there will be cell phone towers every 5 feet in big form and small form, you'll always be able to be triangulated down to the nearest inch, I would think, as long as there's a few towers around. The minute you get out into the open areas where there are cell phone towers are fewer and far between, just because they don't need them out there in the same way, you'll lose the accuracy. And you know the areas where you even lose cell phone service. So if anyone wants to read that email, I posted it back, and maybe comment on it, help the guy out. That noise you hear is Frank trying to speak. I can't hear Frank. Might be my connection, I'm not sure. Next post is the Flat Earth meme. And this relates to the post I just made. I made this post the other day. It really confirms what I think is really happening, and that is that those that are against those that deny climate change, and you notice the words they use are similar to other words that have become very vitriolic, and that would be denier. If you deny anything, it always links back to the Holocaust denying, and that makes you just about as stupid and evil as they can muster words for. But anyway, flat earthers be an alternate term or synonymous with denier, whatever meaning is to deny. So that's really, I think, why this sudden surge in flat earth search and talk. And maybe just hearing the words has prompted some people to use their video producing skills to flood the internet in a way with conversations around determining the shape of our planet. So that's complicated, but I think it's not as sinister perhaps as one might make it out to be. More political. Politics, the ultimate distraction, dominates the media. Well, no. And there's a YouTube link to Bobby Rush of Illinois, who was talking about flat earthers, and Obama has brought up flat earthers. But like everything else, my interest in the whole flat earth discussion has kind of waned now, because there's not a whole lot to grasp onto with discussion, and I think it's just going to die down. And I think Simon and some people at Clues Forum were stating how flat earth was being thrown around exclusively to discredit media fakery analysts. Well, I suppose it can be used to tar and feather anybody on any topic, but I don't think it was rolled out specifically to discredit the growing research into the NASA fakery, or realization of NASA fakery. I don't think so, but it still can be used for that. And as I've told you, I've been listening to a lot of audios. Here's an audio called the Corbett Report. He's on YouTube. He also does a podcast or broadcast on the audio side. I haven't actually ever listened to him before, but John Adams sent me a link to this particular discussion between him and a guy named Lionel of LionelMedia.com. They talk about media fakery, but not really in the way we talk about it. And all that does is, if they're more popular or more highly rated on search engines, basically blocks our media fakery links with theirs, because they're just bigger on the internet. It's a way of search blocking or otherwise not pressing our site, but obscuring the site behind popularity of their site. So by them talking about media fakery, it tends to drown out the smaller sites like mine. Next topic is, who is Edward Bernays? This is another interesting podcast, and the name of that podcast is Smells Like Human Spirit. Take a listen to that. It's an interview with the daughter of Edward Bernays, and he was a pretty odd fellow, but maybe he wasn't necessarily researched for bad. But, of course, then somewhat vilified for his role in refining the art of propaganda. His daughter did not take on the family business. She was more into fiction, writing. Of course, could be propaganda if you on a widespread way. But it's quite an interesting interview with his daughter, explaining who her father was, how he behaved, and he was apparently a workaholic, where that's all he did was figure out ways to use them to promote ideas and concepts. Another podcast I was listening to, another one I think recommended by John Adams, was called Spy Culture. It's a whole series on movies and the CIA. The CIA is heavily involved in creating movies. It's on the CIA specifically. It's to make them look good and further promote the idea that they don't work within the country. They work outside the country to protect the country using intelligence. And perhaps another red herring to throw people off the fact that the CIA is probably used more internally than it is externally to create and manufacture majority opinions, using every available tool, including films and television and social media, way population based on majority opinion, manufacturing majority opinion. This particular podcast is about Wag the Dog, which is a great film. You might have to watch it again. It's really well done. And it basically, if you haven't seen it, story about how Spin Doctor, someone who used by politicians to spin a message from bad to good or away from the topic, goes to Hollywood to find the best film director to manufacture, synthesize a fake war with a fictitious country, or in this case, Albania, a real country, distract everyone from a political scandal, yet another distraction. So it's a distraction upon distraction. It's layers of the onion deep to make people forget exactly their role in our society, which they thought about it may or may not give them really good feelings about what they do. How they're being, society's being changed all around them. How the security state is being built up. And I think in the United States, the real issue of what's going on, get to the inner core of what's happening in the U.S., I really think it is figure out what they're going to do with the deindustrialized United States. I think that's a long-term problem. What do you do with a vast number of people, a growing number of people, uneducated, unskilled people that will have nothing to do since good chunk of manufacturing has gone overseas to China and other Asian countries, jobs that really would occupy a good chunk of the population. Remove all those jobs, what are you going to do with those people? Because when they don't have enough money for basics, then you have a problem. So I think you're using taking every division, every natural division that exists in the U.S., white, black, rich, poor, have a job, doesn't have a job, welfare, no healthcare. They're taking every division and exacerbating them, emphasizing them, inflaming them, create the usual strategy of tension. And I think one possibility is they're trying to ferment or exacerbate distrust with local police and police local, county or city, to create an idea that only a federal or federalized police system will work to maintain order. It's so against the nature of the United States that it's going to take a long-term rehabilitation of popular opinion. I think that's what's going on. And it's almost like a city-by-city tour where they basically find real problems in the city and help inflame them, just throw gas on the fire, on the proverbial fire. Make a mess, including maybe what's going on in Baltimore, whether a real person or not was injured, create this newest story, I don't know. But the end game is the same. And the end game is complicated. So people need to realize the obvious thing that's happening is not the actual thing, not the actual goal. Many steps away. People need to realize that. Complicated. Another post is Max on the Big Picture. Now, unfortunately, if you have been reading my posts, I did do an email exchange with Max about three people he said were directly affected and or killed in the 9/11 event. You there, Frank?
Yes, I can.
Now I can hear you. Say something. Count to five.
Thanks, five to life here, Pump.
Well, better than you were.
I thought that all the things you were saying were quite compellingly well argued.
Well, thank you. Don't love bomb me, though. You're going to get on my good side for 5 minutes.
Always on your good side.
Well, thank you.
It intrigues me about it all. Yes, I have the view that this plan has been going.
You're clipping a bit, and that's not my end, I don't think. Clipping a bit. I'm getting most of it, but the end of your sentence is being clipped off. Boy, it's hard to get good audio, isn't it?
This program's been pretty.
I wouldn't blame the program. I would say it's almost always the internet connection.
It might just be that I'm.
Or even the number of processes.
Yeah.
You're one of those people like me that leave your computer on all the time. I would say that it almost starts to choke up with the millions of processes that are not closed properly by the operating system. There's things called stacks, processor stacks that are used by every element of the computer. And if they get backed up, I dare say that you have a lot of, you can have problems.
That's what I think it is. Is it improving?
No, I think it's still clipping, which all I can suggest is perhaps that you reboot your system. Looks like I'm going to have to log off for a minute, so give me a minute here.
All right, Frank, you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, am I coming through okay? I'm on the mobile.
Yeah, I can hear you fine. The question that I left us on was that you are you're giving me the impression of the view that the broad sweep of history is being directed.
Well, I think society is always being moved in one way or the other. There's no doubt in my mind. Big responsibility to manage a herd.
And there's
I don't
no
think
doubt
it's that random and organic.
There's no doubt in my mind, and would you also agree that it's being conducted over hundreds of years, like the rise and fall of the
yes, I don't think there's
revolution.
Anything. I don't think there's anything new under the sun when it comes to herd management.
Yeah, so I mean the fact that America has raised great heights and is now being broken apart, the plan that seems to have been taking place over hundreds of years.
Yes. Yes. I think there's many, many variations of how things can play out, and they're there. They have a plan for every circumstance. And
so
I don't know if I don't know if 2015 was going to be the year when they figured things were going to be dismantled. I don't think it's that refined, but it could be.
So my question is, how does this plan get carried out well over the span of one person's lifetime?
Well, I think you only see a small amount of the plan. That way it's harder to detect.
No problems with that. But in the broad sweep, I think we're agreeing that there is a plan that seems to be in place that spans hundreds of years.
Yes, a broad plan, yes, okay.
So what entity is able to cause that to happen of many, many people's lifetimes? In fact, the working lifetime of most humans might be...
Well, I just think there's always been an oligarchy, a ruling class of some sort, of some organization, or many organizations, or competing organizations at the top.
So how...
Believe in the idea, yeah.
But how do they transfer the plan from king to prince?
Well, I just think it's like a corporation. Corporations don't die. All
but
of their succession, their policies.
But corporations do die.
Yeah, they can die, or they change, or they're killed off and reborn in different shapes and sizes, yes. But I would say that great wealth. Do you believe that when a family or an entity creates great wealth, it just disappears or dissipates at the very top?
I don't believe that at all.
I'm talking about billions or trillions of dollars.
But I'm still astonished. And yet to see a mechanism which allows what I consider to be a very clear plan that's been laid out for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. The execution of that plan to survive without having some, if you like, a supernatural explanation, is what I'm searching for. So at the moment, what I'm expected to believe, and I think we agree that the outcome is that it's occurring.
Yeah, something's happening in a very organized fashion, yeah.
It's so...
Well, I don't go for supernatural. I think there's enough smart people. There's such a range of intelligence on the planet. I think there's enough people that... If there's really billions of people on the planet, then just randomly there's going to be enough that are smart enough to be able to manage large groups of people effortlessly, and they get together, work together, they find each other, they seek each other out.
That analogy you gave before of a corporation, which is the way that, you know, I mean, most organizations do what they can to survive, you know, the coming and going of the people within them. But they don't generally survive forever. But something,
not all
is,
of them do.
Something is surviving, which is managing to keep this good management program in place. I'm interested in hearing your speculations on that. At the moment, I think your model is that this virus that's driving this organization is so powerful that it's able to just drag new people in all the time, inculcate them with the various skills that they need, and keep the thing going along a plan that seems to be established.
Really choppy, but yeah. I think that it's... I don't think they have to advertise. There's lots of people that want to climb to the top of Mount Everest because they know it's there. And when they get there, there's all kinds of pitfalls. And there's people waiting for those that make it to the top. I don't think it's... There's so many... Look, let's use the example of Hollywood. How many people get drawn to Los Angeles looking for fame and fortune, and when they get there, they realize it's just a mirage? And to get into the mirage that you cannot just walk up to and open the door of, you have to find all kinds of clues and go down many rabbit holes, and only one in a very small number get into the magic rabbit hole with Alice in Wonderland, and it's complicated, and it can never, that rabbit hole will evaporate once that person goes down it, because it can never be the same way for the next person. And maybe that's how new people are brought into it, and very few people make it or survive into it. Otherwise, it's just passed down in a very incestuous and inbred way. And
so I would agree with you. I think your Hollywood model is another good model. But what, yeah, I would argue is that the only people that are successful in Hollywood are the same families over and over again. You know, this is where I'm a fan of. He clearly says, look, whatever you think these top actors are, that they just appear randomly, they don't. Top actors in Hollywood are really from royal families of Europe or whatever. End of story. So there's no one that just suddenly up in the angles that hasn't been selected to be there from birth, pretty much, as we see with Disneyland. So the whole idea that, you know, by hard work and talent you're going to get somewhere in myth that's used obviously to cause suffering and pain, but it's not a reality. There's no one that's brought into that world that hasn't been there for part of a family.
Yeah, well, getting every other word, unfortunately, Frank, I'm not ignoring you, but...
Okay, so I'm still chopping out, am I?
Yeah, on my end. I'm not saying that that's all your end, because I'm many degrees separated from your end.
Yeah, perhaps if I speak more slowly.
No, it's not going to make a big difference. Who knows what the issue is tonight or today or whatever it is.
Anyway,
I'm getting the general idea of what you're saying.
For me, the key issue is to try and understand or to develop different models how this process of control is surviving these really very long periods of time. I had a chat with Chris Kendall where I speculated it was the people that run the place live biblical times, you know, to lengths of biblical characters.
Oh, you broke up. What about the people that run the place? What did you say?
I guess I'm searching for different models about how they go about their work.
Yeah.
And at the moment, one of the models is that the people that run the place live for a long time. I speculated on that topic with Chris Kendall.
Well, I think one way they influence people is NGOs, these non-governmental organizations, these foundations that create ideas, and they almost run a parallel society, where they say, we'll do all the thinking over here.
Oh, no,
we have all the money, we'll do all the thinking.
I've got no problem with that. That's clearly how it does happen. That's a mechanism.
Yeah.
But it still requires... But it still requires someone driving the overall plan to create the NGOs and to set their... Each one of those NGOs has a very specific Tavistock Institute has to do this. The worldwide.
Well, I think has
to do that.
Well, I think I don't know where you're going with this, but this with lots of money and lots of time have all kinds of figure out every angle known to man or beast. Figure out how to manipulate and control things and maintain their dominance.
Sure, I get that. But what is the, you know, if you imagine when, if you imagine a row of 100 people telling a story, one person to the next person to the next person to the next, by the time the story you start off with gets to the 100th person, it's quite different. It's quite different.
Yeah, I know, it's called the telephone game.
So, but we're not seeing that with respect to this plan. What we're seeing is, after generation after generation after generation, is to still be intact, still be running pretty much along a very carefully calculated path, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Well, anytime someone comes up with a disparate idea that doesn't fit the model, they're dealt with. They're just, and I'm not talking necessarily in any violent or evil way, they're just brushed aside. They fall off the turnip truck. Pushed off, or they fall off, or it's like an invading ant that accidentally goes into the wrong colony. It's not gonna last. They know his scent and they can detect him as not one of them very quickly.
Yeah, so at the moment, really, what I'm saying to you, Ab, is that I think you have the view that no supernatural power is required to keep this plan going over the period of time that it's been going. I think that there is supernatural power required to do that.
Okay. I don't think there's any supernatural power.
Yeah. So that's really the, if you like, the topic that I was keen to raise with you this morning.
Yeah. I think humans have so much unused brain power. If everyone used their brain power, it'd be a very different place. I think there's just enough people that use their brain power, but not more brain power than the average person, and that can elevate them to the top very quickly.
Sure, but I think what the thing that we're talking about now is an important discussion to be had. What we really need to do to understand how this broad control over such an extended period of time is maintained. If people on the receiving end have any hope of disrupting, it is important to understand whether it is able to be passed generation to generation. If that's the case, rise to the hope that we can disrupt the pattern, or it's being run by, if you like, a supernatural or a more long-lived entity that's able to keeping that plan in place, and we need to determine what that entity is.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. We have to figure it out. But I think it's not that hard to figure out. I think it's secret societies. I think it's religious organizations. The military. All organizations that persist through generations. It's right there. It's not hard.
What would cause a person joining the military to change that is if people became aware of the sort of things that we're talking about, then really the way to interrupt the system becomes clear, doesn't it? We can then just continue to raise awareness about the fact that this thing is happening. People doing the jobs that they are doing are causing the problem. For example, teachers are teaching things they know they shouldn't do. Soldiers are doing tasks that they realize they shouldn't do. And in broad brush of awareness, if it is passed on the way you're saying, then it seems likely then that there's a mechanism awareness which will disrupt the whole process and break.
Frank, just give me 5 minutes here. I got to concentrate on something here.
All right, Frank, I'm back. You there?
Okay, yeah.
Frank, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear
me? You're very choppy.
You're a little choppy.
Well, let's try it again. I noticed my settings were off on my phone earlier. Was I coming through very echoey before?
Not echoey, just a little, you know, occasional choppy would disappear. Disappeared now, for example.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything.
There's some, I'm not saying any, similar to what you were supposed to.
Yeah, I'm sad to say you're still very choppy. I don't know what to tell you to fix it.
Well, it'll be my computer, and my main computer died, so I'm using it. It's not up to.
Oh, you're on your backup device, and you think it can't handle something, or it's not doing something the other one could do?
It just doesn't have enough.
Maybe if you shut down some browsers or processes.
I did all that, running naked.
All right. Is it plugged in? Is it hardwired to your internet or Wi-Fi?
Hardwired.
Well, can you plug it in?
It is hardwired.
Okay, well, that's not the problem then.
And it's normally a very high-speed connection, but it could be my ISP. Who knows?
I think the bottom line is there's so many variables between where I am and when you are. There's just no way to know.
Amazing that it works at all.
I'm always amazed by it. Between that and aircraft, I don't think we've done anything more advanced.
I agree. Well, there hasn't been a lot of technological change really in the last probably 60 years. The Australian government only recently decommissioned the F-111 fighter plane. It was designed in 19...
Yeah, isn't it interesting? Now we know why they number all these military vehicles the way they do.
Oh, you'll have to fill me in on that. Why is F-111 a significant Masonic name?
Yeah, just all the ones, 11s, that kind of thing. There's three combinations of 11. I don't know. It just seems to me that at least there's a clue to the numerology where before I was completely in the dark.
Yeah.
To me, if you numbered a plane 111, that would indicate without the occult numerology that there were 110 iterations of it before. But that's not the case.
Maybe we can pick out the bad guys from their telephone numbers.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
So, just getting back to that previous topic, that's probably where I think the next adventure lies, in to work out if it's an organization that can be disrupted or whether it's like a supernatural or more long-lived entity. As I've become a fan of the Bible, I'm kind of tending to supernatural.
I see the organizations are right in your face, and there's no way you can disrupt them. Like, I keep going back to my our former police chief, because I really only like to look just locally. I'm not too big on the international idea. And when he retired, he was full regalia with a Jesuit necklace around his neck. You know, that's not something he's born into. That's something he signs up to. And that to me is the power structure.
Do you know that for sure, though, Ed?
Well, no, I think Robin Fisher was the one that pointed out all this sun-worshipping, satanistic, occult regalia that these people adorn and they show in plain sight. I think Robin Fisher was the one that got me into that, where they don't advertise it. You have to look it up yourself if you can zoom in closely, but I put a picture of it somewhere, and it's right there in your face.
Right, so, there in your face, yep. Agreed.
Now, if I went to 100 people in Toronto and said, what is that necklace he's wearing right in his last official duty, where he was regaled by an entire military class, which I consider the police the military, because yes, they act like it. So it's, what was he wearing? Does anybody know? I guarantee 100 people out of 100 wouldn't know what it was.
But making the information, getting that information out to people, difficult as it may be, does cause some disruption, doesn't it?
Well, I think it might, yeah. Do we realize what the secret societies are that these people join and are ultimately aligned with more than any other allegiance? Does that matter to anyone? If it doesn't, then doesn't matter if we describe it and expose it. Does it matter to people?
It's fascinating that the people that are, if in effect, discouraging or ridiculing the Bible, various religious influences over time, are the very same people that wear the elaborate religious outfits, aren't they?
Yes. Well, and I believe that the people that are the master manipulators, deceivers, the magicians, they spoof these organizations that are legitimately religious. For instance, when they put the wacky evangelical Christian or the off-the-charts militaristic Islamist, that's them That's them mimicking them to make those peaceful groups look stupid and radical and bad. I'm certain of that.
Yeah, which is if I've got you right, that's your view of what the flat Earth thing is about.
I don't know what the flat, I put a post in, well, you heard me discuss the flat Earth. I think the flat Earth is fairly, the flat Earth is, seems to be two converging ideas that are getting confused together in that sense. And, I don't really have a policy or a viewpoint on the nature of what we're living on because it's almost impossible for me to figure it out, but.
But one of the things, and I haven't participated much in the flat, for those reasons, because it is too difficult for us to. But one thing that is clear to me, I guess as a person who has studied physics at university when I was a young man, what's now clear to me is things that we've talked about before, which is that relativity thing clearly false, that the experiments which demonstrate the existence of it are particular experiment called the Sagnac effect. Every day, by every aeroplane, gets its autogyro compass. When those planes are flying where they can't get to GPS, for example, they use what's called a gyroscopic compass.
Okay.
That gyroscopic compass relies on the fact that the ether has a direction, that light does not travel at the same speed in every direction. That experiment was performed in 1913, which in combination with the Michelson-Morley experiment clearly demonstrates that the Earth does not move around the sun. That is really the crucial experiment with respect to what we talk about with respect, whether it's a flat Earth or this Earth.
Why don't we make an easier, less offensive statement? How about we say that the Earth is undetermined, but we're pretty certain that the organization that portrays it on a daily basis as a sphere or a globe or variation thereof is we hold it in disrepute. So how about the indeterminate Earth?
Well, that's the key point for me. The idea we are an insignificant part of a massive universe amongst an infinite number of different dimensions clearly discredited. The very clear experimental results irrefutably demonstrate that the Earth is still.
Sadly, I only got every other word there, Frank. That one I could not comprehend.
Those experiments irrefutably demonstrate that the Earth is not moving.
Okay.
Earth is still, as idle as a painted chair.
Yeah, I agree the Earth isn't moving. Yeah, that one seems a lot easier to conceive to me.
Once you get to that point and where you away from the idea we are just an insignificant speck in a universe of concept of what it is to be in this world, these bodies, this life, suddenly takes on significance as opposed to being a detestably small, significant piece of dust. I think that's the key I would like to see come out.
Yeah. Well, Mark Sargent says that. He says, what if this is it? Then you better be good because this is all we got and we better get along and kumbaya. But yeah, I think there's more empirical evidence that what we see is what we get and everything beyond what we can see and sense is just imagination. And that is less likely than what we're sensing on our with our available senses. I go with what we can see. Yeah.
And I think that simple message is where, if you like, questioning starts.
Yeah.
To me, is what the organization that other people call never a straight answer is really about, isn't it? It is to establish the virus within a person's mind. They are totally insignificant.
Yes, and it's to describe an alternate universe that we can't detect in any way. It's government sanctioned science fiction. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, if there is a government, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's officialdoms. It's the kings. It's the queens. It's their officially sanctioned science fiction, and it's the alternate reality. It's the Hegelian dialectic. We have on one side what we can see and what we can sense, And on the other side, this fiction that they're portraying on a daily basis and making up stories about daily. And we have to choose. I choose reality. I choose that there are some kind of lights up in the sky. There's a hot light that we call the sun. There's a cold light that we call the moon. There's lots of little dots in between, and that's it. And I know they want to create. Yeah.
That's all we have. That's the only real data that we have.
Yeah. I don't know about the numbers. I can measure the sun with a ruler. I can hold a ruler up to the sun and measure it from where I am in centimeters, and I can do the same with the moon. Can't really do much with the stars. They're all about one millimeter in my view. That's it. And everything can be relatively measured at different times, but I don't see how we can figure out how far it is. I don't think we can shoot a radar beam to the moon and back and see how long it takes to determine its distance. We certainly can't do that with the sun.
No, that's right. Yeah. The person that agrees with you more on the end of this line.
Yeah. My idea is I prefer to side on the side that we can't measure it with their measurement. You see, I'd rather they do a better job of proving their theory than me having to disprove it. Okay, just like the media. I'll take the media. I don't think it's my job to disprove their story. I think it's their job to prove their story. I want proof. You say someone's dead. I want to see someone swear in front of his peers that this is a true statement. I want to see whatever documentation we all hold to be official. And I want someone to swear and put something valuable up. And if they're lying, I want to see that taken away. I want to see all these kind of proofs before I'm going to start believing these stories again. And same with NASA. I don't believe anything they say. I want to see proof. I want to see them prove that the Earth is round. I should not have to prove it's not round. That's their job. To me, they're proven liars. So they have to prove all these things. So I want to see somebody shoot up. I want many people, independent somehow, to verify that these rockets go up. I need some independent verification that they say there's a space station. I want independent verification that there are satellites, because I don't believe them now. I don't think I should have to disprove it. They should have to prove it.
My view of all this stuff is more or less the reverse of your view.
Oh.
My thing is that I accept people put models up all the time. The model has to be provable before I'll accept it as a genuine model. So some things are not disprovable, like the evolution theory. You know, there is no way to prove or disprove it because all the evidence that it's occurred is vanished. So there's no way to, you know, it's not really even a theory that you can disprove. So I guess in my view, a model that can be disproved is what I consider a I think it's very clear everything about NASA has been disproved by those experiments that I spoke to you before about. Michelson-Morley experiment, Michelson-Gale experiment. Those things are repeatable experiments that you do anytime, every day, clearly. And in fact, as I said, airplanes are operating on the basis that once the ether exists and we demonstrate that the Earth is not moving, then everything about NASA is determined to be a fraud. There's nothing for NASA to do because the whole basis of what they're saying and doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like we're agreeing in a certain way, but I'm not sure.
Except that the thing that you're for me, it's kind of it's part of the discussions that we've had, for example, about I think everything is about disproving things, whereas you're having the view that everything is about proving things. In my opinion, almost impossible to prove anything. There'll always be someone doubting what you're putting forward. Quite often you can disprove it. As I said, anything to do with relativity, anything to do with nuclear activity, E equals MC squared, has been disproved. The only reason relativity came into existence because the Michelson-Morley experiment established that the Earth wasn't moving.
So they had to come up with a pseudoscientific explanation for that.
That's when it was, and everything about, you know, for I guess from the you talk about and the I perceive the world, everything about Albert Einstein is just a media creation.
Yeah.
There was no scientists of the day that held the view that Albert Einstein, the big guys of the time, Ernest Rutherford, walked out of his lectures because they were nonsense.
Yeah, and the myth is what persists, not the reaction of the day. Isn't that amazing how that works? Huh? The myth is all that persists.
It's completely disinformation. I think, as Peter Shea might have pointed out this morning, was Wernher von Braun is probably Gregory Peck.
Well, that's no, I don't. I'm not going that far, but the concept that he did not have the credentials that he was purported to have, I can agree with. To confuse him with an existing Hollywood actor is to confuse the issue, as I've said a million times. But is he a fraud? Is he really a rocket scientist? Well, in a sense, we believe that rocketry and the science of rocketry is fraudulent. So he could have been a rocket scientist in the sense that he was willing to promote the pseudoscience. So that's the extent. So he's acting as if he was a scientist, but he perhaps no more scientist than Mickey Mouse.
That's right. But even the more fundamental things, like those are same experiments that I spoke to before about the ether, they then clearly demonstrate that the way we perceive the action that has us attached to the Earth, we call it gravity.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, they've conducted numerous experiments going on for decades to find what they call a graviton. That's the alleged particle by which gravity works. That graviton has never been detected, ever. There's numerous physical phenomena, such as the inverse barometric effect, which demonstrate the view that there is gravity is fraudulent. We're not. Gravity is a concept that has also been disproved. Even worse, the guy that put forward the theory of gravity, of course, was an alchemist Freemason.
Yeah. Well, I think being an alchemist is more important than being a Freemason, but the Freemason affords him secrecy and promotion, and the alchemist simply identifies him as someone who says one element can transmute into another, which is simply only happens in magic, which is one's imagination or deception, sleight of hand. That's it.
Well, I'm not 100% with you on that. I think that there is you know, I think our whole views of how the atom works and sorted by modern nuclear physics. There are many people that have alternative ideas about how, in effect, what people are saying, expanding waves of vibrations and so on. So there's no reason why you understood, if we understand really how matter is put together, because once you eliminate the E equals MC squared, the idea of atomic structure is up for grabs all over again.
And it should be.
And there are many alternative models about how matter exists. So, you know, that's the reason why I'm not quite ready to say that our chemical, you could be right, but we're yet to disprove it. The whole point is that the science that we've been given from the last 100 years has been what spoke with last night called devolution. By the time we got to 1900, we were really rocking and rolling science and engineering, building amazing machines. I mean, Empire State Building built in 1920 years ago. We don't
Bill
seem
when?
To have got
19 what?
1921, wasn't it?
I know, yeah, sounds right. Well, the fact that we're driving around with engines that are pretty much 150 years old doesn't well to our advancement.
And nothing has happened apart from the electronic stuff, which seems to be more about keeping tabs on people than anything else.
Well, it's creating machines that can do what a human does, repetitive tasks. And if all the repetitive task jobs go away, then you're going to eliminate half the employment opportunities. Unless everyone goes back to growing their own food on their own plot of land, but that ain't going to happen.
That's an interesting thing, if I might say. I mean, I thought when I was about 20, Gee, by the time I'm the age I am now, the machines will have put everybody out of work. What will they all be doing? Somehow the government has managed to create all sorts of jobs that never used to exist before. We sell insurance to each other, or we have procedures, or we have to apply for grants, or, you know, there just seems to be an innumerable amount of jobs that just never existed before.
Yeah, somehow, well, they're all part of a shell game, just rearrangement of the money. Nobody's making anything.
Well, it seems to be the key point is to keep people really distracted on doing useless things, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, all we really need is to secure shelter, fresh drinking water, and sustenance, and that's about it. Yeah. And everything else is just a house of cards built upon all the necessities.
So that should, the modern machinery, that should employ about 0.001% of the population.
Well, machines can do a lot of the food production and the water purification, so that takes care of that. That can be heavily automated.
Millions of people going and doing things and driving around in cars, and it's kind of incredible the amount of stuff that gets done that is completely unnecessary and probably quite stupid and harmful.
Yes, yes, oh, definitely. I think that's where the useless eaters moniker arises from.
Which is, again, another bizarre thing, because if you're a fan of the Bible, as I am, the whole world was created for us.
Yeah, well.
You know, we are the purpose of the earth.
Yeah, that's getting really philosophical. I have to be in a real philosophical mood for that conversation.
Well, that's why I'm really enjoying, if you like, reading, especially these guys called the self-defining Hebrew translation of the Old Testament. What a fun to read.
Well, the most disturbing article that you posted, changing the subjects, is the story about the forced vaccinations using the financial penalty if you don't get your children immunized. And that, to me, begs the question, if it's so good for you, why do you have to be forced to take it?
Well, I think that one of the things that people don't realize about I live in Australia, where they test all of the most draconian measures. We were the first guys to really get into mobile. We were the first people to have that really strict gun control.
Yeah.
We were the first people to produce, like, the free university and get everybody to school early and so that men don't become men in their 30s or 40s. Women, everything, all of the social control stuff occurs here first.
You're like a giant laboratory. Social experimentation.
Yeah,
it's easier to do lab tests in a petri dish, and your subcontinent is literally a petri dish unlike any other.
That's how I view it, yeah. It sounds like you're not hostile to my view.
Well, we don't hear much about Australia. We only when they propagate the terror stories do we hear of Australia. Otherwise, you may as well be in another world.
Yeah, well, we brought the carbon tax in first.
Yeah, well, we're going to get it here too, I'm sure. They keep talking about it.
So you'll be charged for the amount of carbon dioxide you produce, lungs.
It's all related to depopulation. And as you depopulate, you eugenicize. You optimize what population remains. And that's where the eugenics kicks in, I guess.
Do you think it's that, or just about establishing total control?
Well, you may as well do something with that total control, and you may as well have some goals. Once you have the total control, what do you want to do with it?
Well, I guess I'm not quite sure. I mean, I guess I'm not quite sure what the advantage of the depopulation is.
Well, they just think there might be a real belief, because they know maybe more than anyone else, the people that rule over us, the actual levels of resources that they think are really left. Maybe they really have a good solid number in mind that they think is sustainable. And because they control the numbers, the media, they know the real population number, they know the real resource level, maybe they have a number in mind and they're working towards that optimization.
So let's go over that possibility, because it's a one that fascinates me. If you imagine... So I live in a house, a four-bedroom house on about 1,000 square meters of land. You know, I have a pool and a double garage and all the nice things, right?
That's a hectare. That's a hectare, right? 1,000 square meters?
Hectare, yeah. No. A hectare is, there is 10,000
square meters. No, it can't be 10,000.
It has to be because it's 100 meters by 100.
A hectare is 100 meters squared?
Yeah, 100 meters by 100 meters.
So that's 10,000 square meters. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I live on a tenth of a hectare.
Oh, okay.
Now, you could easily, in my home, take 7 or 8 people. Comfortably, no problem. So if you imagine, if we imagine that there are 7 billion people in the world, and I like you, am extraordinarily doubtful of these, just take the actual, let's just take the proved number of 7 billion. If they all lived in a house like mine, square meters, the entire population in the world could live in absolute total comfort in an area the size of the state of Texas, USA.
Okay. I've heard you say that, or someone say that, yeah.
So if you imagine that settlement split up into 100,000 such settlements dotted all over the planet, not even see that we were here. The rest of the planet would be left untouched. Even more importantly, the amount of water that we collect off the roofs of those houses, land in between all those houses, easily grow all the food that we need, particularly if we then chose to recycle our shit and our urine, fertilizing agent.
Yeah.
So the whole idea that there are too many people, even for the eugenicists, doesn't cut, because what's clearly going on, if the people that control the world loved us, they obviously wouldn't have the entire world being covered up with tar and cement for roads and airports and large cities that are occupied for 40 hours of the 100 rest of the time. There, so much of the infrastructure that we have as a utility in the low teens, or everything about the way we use of the way we cover everything with tar is irrational. In the just simply no need for us to have an uncomfortable life, even if there are 7 billion of them. So the idea that there's a need to cull the population works.
Well, my only answer to that would be it would be impossible to get everyone to double bunk up in the state of Texas. That's a logistical nightmare and just wouldn't be possible to do. Of course, it is mathematically possible, but it is not physically nor mentally possible. You couldn't do it. Therein lies the rub. They have to continue with their projections based on the way that the planet population is scattered here and there, and people claiming lands as private and you can't walk on them, and all kinds of other man-made concepts.
Yeah, well, as I said, I mean, I think there's the, whatever the purpose is, I'm not convinced that it's a eugenics. Again, I kind of think of the eugenics thing as another scary idea that's there to cause us emotional stress that's really at this stage validated enough.
Well, I don't know if there are eugenicist societies still around, but they were around for quite a while in the United States before the war.
Don't get me wrong, they're around.
Well, I have to go to a meeting and see what their goals are.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. They always talk about population control. But the argument I was trying to put before is that population control, I don't think it's about resources, Ab, because the amount of resources that we use are largely driven by the culture creators, aren't they? The culture creators could easily create a culture where we don't use resources. I don't think it's to do with fuel and so on.
They're doing it. They're doing it now.
Why are we encouraged to build all these roads and airports and work in one city that's 200 miles from where we live?
Well, Agenda 21 is trying to stop and reverse all that. So, and that is, they call it smart growth, and they're stopping it. It's not happening nearly the way it may have been happening 60 years ago. So they are changing it. That's what Agenda 21 is.
But at the same time as you're saying that, they're still continuing to push really, really inefficient ways of living.
Well, maybe in some places. I think China is an Agenda 21 country in the sense that they've got their cities ready to go. That's what the ghost cities are. Those cities are ready to go and ready to be populated as they clear the land of old-fashioned farmers.
Now, Jim, who you know, Jim in China, is saying that those cities are not populated. Those cities are populated.
No. I just talked to someone in China, and he's seen those cities, and there aren't many of them that are they're not populated yet because they haven't got the people in there, but they're ready to go. So it's not a secret. It's not really a secret in any way. It's documented. There's YouTubes on them that seem reasonable, and the explanation is not sinister. So I don't have a problem with the idea that there's huge cities that were planned, but they may have been planned poorly, and they were maybe built before. They put the cart before the horse, but they're not. They're still being maintained, so they don't stay into rubble. That's just central planning gone on AWOL.
So what do you think is the future for those cities? They'll be start being used at some
point? Oh, they'll be populated, yeah. I just don't think that the timing was correct. But as they go from an agricultural society, similar to the way the United States did in China, China will do the same, and the people will come off the land, and they'll be put. They'll be warehoused. It's happening everywhere. This is the process of industrialization, and the United States, I would say, is in deindustrialization.
Well, and I would agree that's been long.
The difference is in China, where they have more of a dictatorship. If they want to build a factory, they just build it. There's no local groups to consult, and there aren't the myriad of agencies to go through. They'll build it. It'll be built as fast as you can build it, and they'll build an off-ramp to that factory, and they'll relocate people. They don't ask them. They don't consult them. They just do it. They might bribe them a bit. It's just done. It's a very efficient system.
I've seen that in operation, by the way, built in the space.
It's very efficient. Dictatorships are amazing forms of government. They're fast, get things done. They're very responsive, but they're not done with the consultation of the majority, because that takes too long. Years go by, decades go by, nothing happens.
Don't you think that's the purpose of consultation?
So they just got ahead of themselves with those cities, I think, in China, and they'll be used.
I think with more to he was of the view that they were already being used.
There are some that are not. There's not the numbers there. They might be 5% used. They're not there yet. They were built ahead of their time. That's central planning. That's central planning run amok. It's not individual private developers that, even here in Canada now, they're not allowed to build a big condominium tower until it's maybe 70% sold, because too many times they would build it, they would start building and not sell it, and then it would stop because they run out of money. So now they change the rules where you have to sell most of it. In China, they don't have to do that. They just build it because they control all the money. I'm not sure. It's a pseudo-capitalistic society now. It's hard to tell how money works there. But the old system, it seems like the central planners just built stuff and worried about the money later.
Well, I just think we've talked about before. I mean, I don't see the difference of control between one country or another. Various permissions are removed or taken. You know, I don't think people in the USA are any more safe than people of China have over their government.
You don't think people in the USA are what?
Have any more say over the way their government operates than people of China?
Well, yeah, maybe in the end they don't get what they want, but they have certain theaters of so-called democracy where they can sure slow things down. If they don't control it, they have the appearance of control. At least, but the way that the ruling the money people make things happen, it takes a lot longer in the USA. If ultimately they lose, it takes a lot longer in democracies.
Yeah, I'm unconvinced of your view. I think the reason reason that there are hindrances to the progress are because it suits the lords and masters.
Well, it's what they had to do to appease the people that wanted a say in things. Let's put it that way. The king used to just say what's going to happen, and it happened. In the British parliamentary system, which we're under and you're under, the prime minister has absolute power.
Yes.
He has far more power than any president, because the United States has a far more checks and balances system. And now it's just being abused beyond belief, because I just think there's a whole generation that doesn't really know how the system should work. And maybe their system just results in paralysis anyway, and they have to do it the way they're doing to make anything happen. But in Canada, we have the illusion where we elect people, and they're supposed to be our representatives, but quickly the leader of the party forms a cabinet, and then quickly those cabinet ministers realize that the absolute power resides with the prime minister, who has a privy council, which is a very small group of men that make all the decisions. And we had a little flare-up of democracy back when our parties fractured and reformed. And what happened was you get a lot of disparate opinions and people saying stuff that people felt but wasn't good for moving a policy along. And quickly the prime minister just told everyone to shut up and said everything, every statement has to go through his office. So he re-centralized and reconcentrated power, and then all of a sudden the disparate voices that were percolating for a couple of years were silenced. And now nobody in Canada could tell you even 10 representatives anywhere in the land. We only know the top 5 because they're the only ones that can speak, and they run the entire country like a corporation.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So you're really just confirming my view that China is no worse off than any of us.
No, I don't think they are, but they it seems like they have a couple, maybe a few fewer layers of government that can slow everything down. We have quite a few layers. We have local, we have municipal, provincial, and federal, and they've all been given different levels of power for different parts of society.
The reason I argue that it's just about various permissions being added or taken away is you'll know as well as I do that, particularly in Canada and Australia, that those organisations, legal point of view, have not changed. Local councils, local governments, and state, their powers haven't changed in 100 or so years that they've been in existence. 100 years ago or 150 years, Australia was created out of nothing. It was a major shipbuilding and industrial centre created within a very short time, just as China. So it's not the institutions that are, it's just the way the Lord, my argument is that it's really the way the Lords and Masters can add or remove permissions will. Ultimately, at some point, China will have the same situation occur to them. And it's really just a matter of time that China needs to be quickly industrialized from the way it was in 1972 when Richard Nixon opened up the baton with China. So they had to, they suddenly just swept it all up, and now it's incomprehensibly powerful, the same way that Australia and the USA and deindustrialized. That all occurred literally by turning off various permissions and creating, as you said, the NGOs that put out all these policies, and there are Rachel, whatever her name, book the site.
Yeah, they create the policies. They're just
all of that stuff, and it's all just run. I have no view at all. There's any more democratic power with making nations?
No, we just have the illusion of influence and power. It's just an illusion, but it's not. The illusion satisfies 99% of the population. Oh, no, it satisfies the 40% of the population that actually participate in the illusion. The rest couldn't care less or agree that it's an illusion.
They need to drink or take drugs to cope.
Right, yeah, they're given all the medications and drugs to escape from reality because it's too much for them.
I better skip away. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Pardon me, say again?
I really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoy it with you. I wish your connection was better. I couldn't respond to you because sometimes I could only hear every other word, and I really had a problem trying to figure out what you were saying. But hopefully you get your computer repaired so we can...
It's only a day away, I think.
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah. I think sometimes I might have to reformat my whole computer because I think it gets to a point where it just starts to back up and... Buy a new hard drive, because hard drives are like tires. They wear out and you should replace them before they break. And computer components are so cheap now that
Mine was giving me warnings, plenty of warnings.
Yeah.
I've only got myself to blame.
Yeah, well, people just always push things to the end and then they get stuck for a few days. That's how people always push things to the very end, and that's how they operate. People are extremely predictable, and that's what makes them so easy to master and manipulate, because they are just creatures of predictability and habit.
What do they call it?
On that happy note, I'm pulling into my driveway, and I have to see if my lawnmower will start, and because it's that time of year, things are starting to grow again.
Bye for now.
All right. Cheerio. Take care, Frank. Thanks for the convo.
Hi, this is Errol C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.